Good morning.
Good morning.
This too is a day the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It still is. The real reason for Christmas still exists, and it will as long as this world endures. Now, while we may put the decorations away, we are to continually heed the message of Christmas. This is what our scripture readings for this first Sunday after Christmas help us do, as they remind us of who is this God that we worship, and how then we are to carry on with our life day to day. May you and I then benefit from such a reminder. Our order of service is printed out for us in the worship bulletin. We are celebrating the Lord's Supper today, and so we invite your attention to the bottom of page 2 to see our paragraph about the Lord's Supper. May God bless us in our worship of Him as we now turn our attention to the first hymn in the red hymnal, hymn 344. Please rise as we continue on page 3 in the worship bulletin. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
God, in mercy you sent your one and only Son to take upon himself our human nature. By his gracious coming, deliver us from the corruption of our sin and transform us into the likeness of his glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
On this first Sunday after Christmas, our Old Testament reading comes to us through the prophet Isaiah, the 45th chapter, where we are encouraged to turn to God, the only true and living God, who is the way of salvation. We hear these words. Gather together and come. Assemble, you fugitives from the nations. Ignorant are those who carry about idols of wood, who pray to gods that cannot save. Declare what is to be. Present it. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are righteousness and strength. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. But in the Lord, all the descendants of Israel will be found righteous and will exalt. This is the word of our Lord. We turn our attention to Psalm 111. We join together in singing this psalm along with its refrain. There is an excellent how-to in these words recorded down for us from Colossians chapter 3, how to sing a new song to the Lord each and every day. We hear these words of inspiration. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of our Lord.
Hallelujah. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Hallelujah.
Please rise for the gospel reading. It's from the Holy Gospel of St. Luke, the second chapter. Peace to and for all people of this world. This is why Jesus came. We hear his words. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father, through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn our attention back to the Old Testament reading for this first Sunday after Christmas. We hear once again these words of the prophet Isaiah. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to take away the sins of the world, that we might not only be forgiven, but also one day enjoy the fruits of heaven. A while back, we talked about the value of making U-turns, whether that be while driving or, more importantly, when it comes to living out this life here on earth, and in particular, when it comes to a relationship with God. By nature, that is, from conception and birth, we are headed in the wrong direction. And what is dangerous about this is that we are not aware of it until it is pointed out to us. Recall the role of John the Baptist in preparing the crowds for Jesus. It is fitting then to end one calendar year and move into another with another directional sign. Today the prophet Isaiah presents us with a one-way sign. This too is a sign that drivers do well to heed. Have you ever turned down on a one-way street in the wrong direction? At first, you may have thought the other driver or drivers were driving foolishly. Perhaps you said something stronger than that. But then you quickly realize that it is I who is in the wrong. Tragically speaking, people have been injured or even killed due to people driving on a one-way street in the wrong direction. Spiritually speaking, and even more tragic, too many people perish because they are headed down the wrong way of life. There is only one way to God. There is only one way to walk or drive through this life. There is only one way to heaven. The prophet Isaiah points out that one way. And that way has not changed throughout history. That one way is this, in a nutshell. Turn to God and be saved. To be clear, there is no God but this God. And since this is the case, we are to bow before this God only. Now, who exactly is this God and there is no other? Who exactly is this God that we are to bow before and there is no other? In the verses leading up to our text, the prophet Isaiah provides us with answers. He says, "For this is what the Lord says, He who created the heavens, He is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right." Multiple answers are provided to give us God's identity. He is the reason why this world exists and everything in it, why it operates the way it does, much of it hidden from our plain sight. With science and exploration and so on, we are able to discover more and more the wonders of God's creation in spite of sin entering the created world. This God desires relationship. He created angels and human beings, each with their own designated purpose, with the connecting thread being giving praise to this Creator God. This God is truthful. He is not like the sinful human beings that you and I have become. He is not like the fallen angels. He is truth and he speaks the truth. He is the standard we are to attain to. Be perfect, Scripture says, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. This God is unlike any other. For this God has always existed. He is holy. He is just. He is compassionate. He is so much more. In fact, you and I, we will never be able to fully comprehend this God. And so we can only confess, as the Apostle Paul did about this God, recorded down for us in Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Not the end of the sermon, amen. Yet despite all this knowledge about God, as he has revealed it to us through the one reliable source that has endured the test of time, people keep coming up with their own gods. This fact speaks to the natural knowledge of God all people have within them. People know by nature that there is a divine being, a higher power, something or someone that we are to be accountable. This may be one of the reasons why a number of people declare themselves to be believers in no God. For if there was not a God, they would not need to make this claim about there not being a God. A picture or statue representing the baby Jesus would not bother them. They would not need to go on lecture tours or write books to prove the existence, the non-existence of this no God. You and I, believers, on the other hand, do not need to prove the existence of God, for the proof is already before us. As Scripture itself testifies to the fact that the heavens declare the glory and the existence of God. Life, in fact, did not just mysteriously appear. It had and has a source. And yet, despite this knowledge of his existence within us and around us, this knowledge, due to the sinful nature handed down to us, clouds and misleads people. And it also then leads to a confusion when it comes to attempts to come into a relationship with this God. In fact, there are too many false gods to mention or count. We can point out a few categories of these false gods. Gods that are made out of wood or stone. Gods that are made out of material possessions. Gods that are made out of people themselves. Now, what do these false gods all have in common besides being headed down a one-way street in the wrong direction? They put the emphasis on us and not on God. They put the emphasis on what we have to do if we want to be saved from sin and its consequences, rather than on what God has done to save us from the deadly permanent consequence of sin coming into this created world. Gods made out of wood and stone cannot speak. Gods made out of wood and stone cannot hear. And so gods made out of wood and stone cannot help. Read through the chapters preceding and following Isaiah 45. The point is made that there is no God like the God who created this world, who has redeemed this world, who has revealed himself as he has through nature and through the written word. From our text, Isaiah says, "And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none but me." This is not arrogance talking when one can back it up. And this God can definitely back up his statements. The prophecies or promises God has made and recorded down for our benefit in the Holy Scriptures speak to his ability to back up what he says. He is a God of his word. After Adam and Eve fell into sin, he told them that life on earth would become difficult, hard, and challenging. Relationships would go sour. All creation would be impacted. When the earth shakes, we are reminded of the curse that has come with sin. When people do not get along with one another, we are reminded of the curse of sin. When people at work see it more as a chore for a variety of reasons, we are reminded of the curse of sin. When people, we or others, get sick, when others die, or when we ourselves have to face death, we are reminded of the harsh consequence of sin that has come into this created world. Sin God did not bring into this world, but rather brought in by people who fail to appreciate His goodness. And that doesn't that describe you and me too often at times? People who fail to appreciate His goodness, and so we end up drifting away from Him, attempting to drive down a one-way street in the wrong direction. Because this is true of us and of all people, God fulfilled another promise He had made already to Adam and Eve after the fall into sin. In fact, we just celebrated the fulfillment of this promise, a clear reminder that God, despite rejection, does indeed care for this world, in particular the people of this world. And just because the Christmas decorations have been or will be put away does not mean that the reason for Christmas in the first place is to go away. We long for the attendance that we get at Christmas services. Why can't attendance be like that every week, we ask? Because God is not the priority of our life. It is like we take pride in going down a one-way street in the wrong direction. How long can I get away with this mentality? Life is too busy, we say. Glad God was not too busy to come down to earth and carry out our salvation. Excuses for not keeping God as the priority come all too easily for some of us, and this can be a hard but not impossible habit to break. But God predicted this too, that the love of many toward Him will grow cold. This in part is we allow the gods of this world, the gods which needed to be invented, the gods which need someone else's voice to do their speaking, to inundate our lives. When we examine the religions of this world, there is only one that truly has our best interests in mind, and that is untainted Christianity. The I Am God does not ask us to save ourselves, for He knows we cannot, so He sent His Son Jesus. The I Am God does not ask us to come into a relationship with Him, for He knows we cannot do this, so He sends the Holy Spirit to work in and on our hearts through the means He has provided for this to take place. We do not need to come up with religious experiences or be dunked in a certain way or do X amount of good things to get qualified for consideration. This God, and there is no other, cares for you and has backed it up. So He rightly calls those who have drifted away from Him to account. Isaiah was predicting the fall and the return of Israel. Both the people of the northern tribes, Israel, and of the southern tribe, Judah. The time would come when God would gather His people and point out the foolishness of their bowing down to gods made out of wood and stone, or putting their hopes in governments and institutions and in themselves. What other person or institution can make predictions, God says, with 100% accuracy? No one. God had predicted the fall of His people and the return of His people under Cyrus. Who else could have predicted this rise, this fall and rise? No one. Verse 21. The point God was making with His questioning was this: turn to God and be saved. And He was not only talking to the Jews, He also had in mind Gentiles, all people, to turn to Him and be saved. For there is no God but Him. And so there is no God but Him to be worshipped and obeyed. Isaiah says, "In the Lord alone are righteousness and strength." All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. But in the Lord, all the descendants of Israel will be found righteous and will exalt. Spiritual Israel is more than physical Israel. All who believe in the God of the Bible are considered to be the descendants of Abraham. For it is about the promise, not the bloodline. Since then there is only one God, and one way to this God, through Jesus the Son, it is important that you and I make our witness clear. We cannot honor God while at the same time say we can get to God through multiple belief systems, or say that it does not matter what one believes as long as one believes, for the who and the what does indeed matter. Since there is only one God and one way to this God, it is important that we heed what this God has to say about staying in a relationship with him. The Ten Commandments are not meant to be a how-to-be-saved document. Rather, they are a summary of how to reflect God as the priority in our life. And when we put these commandments into practice, we and our neighbors benefit too. And so is it a stretch to say that the further we get from heeding these commandments, and ultimately God himself, that we are seeing the results of such each and every day? Think of the money and the effort, for example, that we as a society put into security systems for our cars and our homes and our bank accounts and more. Do you think the further we get from heeding these commandments and ultimately God, that we'll need more of this going forward? We as a society definitely need a turning to God moment. And that starts with you walking in the right way down a one-way street with the right direction. You can be the example that can make a difference in someone's life. You can be the one who ultimately says and unashamedly says that there is a God, and there is none like this God revealed to us in the Bible. You and I, we are to do this individually, and we are to do this collectively. In this way, then, we can head into a new year as we have closed out the current year, striving to be a vibrant, impactful gathering of believers who desire to glorify God, grow in his grace, and go with his gospel. That, dear friends, is living a life down the one-way street in the right direction. This then leads all of God's people to say, and this leads all of God's people to say, amen. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the way. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. They're found for us on page 9.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
We pray. Dear Savior, O rich the gifts you bring, yourself made poor and weak, O love beyond expression, that thus can sinners seek. For this, O Lord, will we our joyous tribute bring you, and glad praises sing you, ever grateful we will be. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church on page 10. O Lord, light of the world and saving strength of your people, we thank you for the gift of your word, implanted in the hearts of your people, so that set free from the power of Satan and the fear of death, we may live to serve and honor you.
Pour out your spirit on us, that we may grow richly in divine knowledge and spiritual understanding.
Bless the proclamation of your word everywhere, so that the hearts may be turned from darkness of spiritual ignorance, falsehood and despair, to the light of knowledge, truth, and life.
Be with our missionaries and our homes and prisoners. Protect them, encourage them, and crown their labors with success.
Let your word shine in our homes, that parents and children may dwell together in love and serve one another in kindness and humility.
Watch over the sick, the sorrowing, the anxious, and the weary. Preserve those who are in any danger of body or soul. Supply us by the grace of Jesus with the Spirit's power, that we may never be comforted by your truth and sustained by your love.
Be with the Jerry Stewart family as they deal with the loss of her 37-year-old nephew. Death strikes young and old. It comes at times when we are not expecting it. It serves as an ugly reminder of sin in this world. As you soothe their sorrow and bless their witness with the gospel, may we all be reminded of the importance of being ready through faith and to not take this life for granted. It is the hope you alone provide we hold on to now and always. Birthdays are another reminder of your grace, O Lord, as you are the giver of life, physical and spiritual. For those among us privileged to celebrate another year of grace, continue to open their eyes to the blessings you have given and will put into their life, that they may reflect glory and praise back to you. Thank you for blessing the marriages being celebrated in our midst. As you have forgiven us, may our husbands and wives be forgiving of one another as we strive to live our lives as reflections of you. For these and all other things you know we need, we confidently ask in the name of him who gave himself for us, that we might live through him, Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Please rise.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who by his wondrous birth became our brother, taking on human flesh to live in righteousness before God, and to become obedient even to death on a cross. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ,
the true body
shed for you on the cross for the forgiveness of all of your sins.
Take his hands.
We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift, you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Thank you.
great to see each and every one of you in the house of the Lord this morning. A happy new year to each and every one of you. May the Lord God open our eyes to see the blessings that he has put into the new year for our benefit as we go through challenges and opportunities. May we continue to live our lives then with that desire to glorify him and to grow in his grace and go with the gospel he's given to us. To help us grow in our understanding of God and how to carry out our lives day to day, we are starting up again our Bible studies on Sunday mornings next week, Lord willing. New topics, you can see them in the weekly news and read more about those topics. Also then, on Thursdays, once a month, beginning January 11th, we're having a Dig Deeper Bible study. We're looking at a summary of Christian doctrine. So if you're interested in that, take note of that. It's also outlined for us in the weekly news. It's once a month because there will be reading assignments in between the weeks we don't meet. So keep that in mind. For other small group Bible study opportunities and fellowship opportunities, again, see the weekly news, the website, the bulletin, calendar, and so forth for opportunities to gather. We do plan to have a reception for our new members to be taken in next Sunday. That reception will take place after the late service, so keep that in mind. As we close out this calendar year, we do want to contemplate God's mercy by reflecting on the fact that in 2017, we at St. Mark's have had the following membership actions. We've had 3 adult baptisms, 3 children baptisms, 1 wedding celebration, and 6 victory services. More details will follow in the annual report. We give thanks to God for the opportunities to reach out and to nurture people with his gospel in times of sorrow and in times of thanksgiving. May God continue to bless us as we do the work in his name. For more details and timely information, I direct your attention to the weekly news. Again, it can be found in the entryway. It also can be received by email. If you're not receiving it already by email, just talk to Carolyn in our office, and she'll gladly hook you up. And speaking of that weekly news, just a clarification, when you see the general fund income, specifically there, that's the thank offering income, not all the income received for the general fund. And then, also in the weekly news, there are ways to promote and support our Lutheran Elementary School, so hopefully you'll take some time to read through those ways and continue to keep our entire ministry, church and school, in your prayers as we work together again to glorify God and grow in his grace and go with that gospel. Hopefully you'll take the opportunity to meet and greet one another before you leave God's house today. If you don't know that face or forgot that name, go up to that person and say hi. Again, I said it before, I'll say it again. If you've been a member a long time and somebody comes up to you and says, you know, I don't know you, don't take offense, you know. Give thanks that they're willing to say hi, and hopefully you'll have a new friend as we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, blessed new year to each and every one of you. Thank you.